Many thousands of years ago, the children of Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, found themselves in an impossible situation, hopeless. They were in bondage in Egypt, lorded over by an evil-hearted Pharaoh who would not give them relief from their enslavement, even when God, through Moses, told him, "Let my people go." So, God sent a series of plagues upon Egypt to convince the Pharaoh to indeed free the children of Abraham. These plagues, though certainly disastrous, failed to convince Pharaoh to let God's people go. They included water turned to blood, frogs, locusts, darkness, all kinds of natural disasters. But finally came a plague that centered upon the most innocent of creatures, a lamb. God told Moses to tell the children of Israel to kill a lamb, put its blood on their doors, and eat the lamb, roasted with fire and unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Not only that, but even though this was to be an evening meal, they were to eat it fully clothed, shoes on their feet, staff in hand, all their stuff packed up and ready to go. And eat it fast, because this dinner is going to be their ticket out of bondage, out of Egypt, and into freedom and a land of milk and honey. And you know, you wonder what those Israelites were thinking. They'd seen all these plagues visited upon Egypt, and each time their spirits rose in hopes this would be the time they'll be released. And things only got worse for them. But now they're told to eat a meal, lamb for dinner, and that's going to make them free? Well, they followed those instructions, although their doubts had to be on the high side. Not many of them thinking the result of this night would be any different from the other 9 attempts to soften Pharaoh's heart. And the Holy Scriptures say, "And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, 'Rise up and get you from thence, from among my people, both you and the children of Israel. Go and serve the Lord as you've said.' And so surely the house of Israel was delivered that night through the blood of an innocent lamb. Delivered not only from the death that encompassed the land upon all the firstborn, but delivered from their bondage in Egypt by a lamb. God considered this experience in the history of Israel so important that he wanted it duplicated on a yearly basis at the same time of year, the same day and hour. And he said, and this day shall be unto you for a memorial. Exodus 12:14. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. God did not want them to forget that lamb. That lamb that was the key to their deliverance. Now we got to go about a couple thousand years in the future, and the children of Israel are still following these instructions. Every year they have lamb for dinner as a memorial, a means of remembering. That's what a memorial is. And there's this carpenter who a prophet among Israel named John called the Lamb of God. And he had 12 close followers, one of whom would sadly turn out to be a betrayer. And this carpenter taught the common people to love their enemies, turn the other cheek, love one another, be merciful, and obey God. He never harmed a soul. He healed people of their diseases, and he even raised the dead. And because of his popularity, the religious leaders of his day conspired as to how they might kill him. The experts in the law, the chief priests. One of the greatest temptations to wrongdoing can be a station of importance in religious circles that can become threatened by the kind of down-to-earth simplicity Jesus represented. So the picture is, we have a people whose national history revolves around the killing of a lamb. And we've got this carpenter who's called a lamb, claiming, as did Moses, to be sent by God for the deliverance of the people. But not a deliverance from Pharaoh or a nation. No. A far greater deliverance was now in the offing. Deliverance from the bondage of sin and death and the great adversary of God and man, the devil. So, we're in the Passover time of year, and here's what the scriptures say. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he, that's the carpenter, sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat. And now, from the Message Bible of the Holy Scriptures. Quote, they left, found everything just as he told them, and prepared the Passover meal. When it was time, he sat down, all the apostles with him, and said, you've no idea how much I looked forward to eating this Passover meal with you before I enter my time of suffering. It's the last one I'll eat until we all eat it together in the kingdom of God. Now, if you can, picture these followers of the carpenter, whom they had seen do many miraculous things, teach them incomprehensible things, speaking like no man had ever spoken before. And there they are, celebrating the memorial of that which freed their ancestors from bondage in Egypt. And they are told by him, this is going to be the last Passover that they'll be having together, because their leader has got to go off and suffer. And they're thinking, what is going on here? I mean, they were used to this man teaching unusual and hard to understand things, for sure. And they were used to him doing things no man could dream of doing. Walking on water, feeding 5,000 with a few pieces of bread and fish, turning water into wine. And here he is, saying, there aren't going to be any more Passovers till they all eat it together in the kingdom of God. Who knows what that means? But he does give them something to do in place of the Passover that they weren't going to get to do anymore. It's a lot simpler. He institutes a new kind of memorial with him as the centerpiece, not a lamb. The scriptures say, and he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And there you have it. The divine bridge between the original deliverance of Israel through the means of a dead lamb and now the deliverance of all mankind from their bondage to sin and death through the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. A perfect melding of type into antitype, and the association forever in the minds of Jesus' followers between the original Lamb of deliverance and its ultimate fulfillment in the broken body and shed blood of Christ, the Messiah, the deliverer of Israel and the world. The eclipsing of the Passover meal by the emblems of the memorial of Christ, the bread and the cup, and the use of the unleavened bread, an essential part of the Passover, to represent the perfect body of Christ. And so, dear brethren, here we are, several more thousand of years later, carrying on this tradition as instructed by our Lord. This do in remembrance of me. A memorial is a means of remembrance. And as those Israelites of old, suffering in bondage to the human eye, must have looked a little silly, all dressed up, eating a dinner of lamb, expecting to leave Egypt, when there's no outward evidence whatsoever that would suggest that was possible. And here we are, a small and unknown group of followers of that carpenter, partaking in these symbols of Jesus' body and blood, broken and poured out for us. And we too are expecting a deliverance that to the human eye and mind makes no more sense than did the hope of deliverance from Egypt on Israel's Passover night so long ago. We are mostly the foolish of this world, but rich in faith. We've heard the call of the Master. Come, follow me. And we know that following has its cost. Those who live godly in Christ Jesus must suffer persecution. We have committed to be baptized into death with him. We have taken up our cross and followed him. To the world, we're just a peculiar people, if any notice is taken of us at all. But by partaking in these emblems, as Paul says, as often as we drink this cup and eat this bread, we are preaching the Lord's death. We are affirming to ourselves, to our God, to everyone here, that we are believers in the Lamb of God, whom God gave that the world through him might be saved. We have our shoes on, our feet shod with the gospel of the preparation of peace. We've got our staff in hand because we know we've got a journey ahead of us. We've got the journey of the rest of our Christian lives, and we've got that journey to heaven in the first resurrection to be forever with the Lord. And we partake of the bitter herbs of life's experiences, which are overruled for our edification, our sanctification, and ultimately our glorification. And we are confident that all things will work together for our good, no matter how disastrous they sometimes seem. And we are convicted in this because we know Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Our sins forgiven, sonship to God restored, and a heavenly hope that maketh not ashamed. And as sure as Israel was passed over on that first Passover night, so shall we all, through the blood of our Lamb, be rescued from sin and death, crossing over the sea, and on the other side, one day, with all our brethren, including those many who are but memories now, who were our mentors, and our fellow travelers, our husbands and our wives, our fathers and our mothers. We will all, on the other side, gather to sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. And I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the voice of many waters, like the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. These are they who follow the Lamb where he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb.